The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
After Jesus left the synagogue, he entered the house of Simon. Simon's mother-in-law was afflicted with a severe fever, and they interceded with him about her. He stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. She immediately got up and waited on them. At sunset, all who had people sick with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on each of them and cured them. And demons also came out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and did not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus left and went to a deserted place. The crowds went looking for him, and when they came to him, they tried to prevent him from leaving them. But he said to them, "To other towns also I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So there was an obscure news story in the last couple weeks. It was about these two pilots that were flying for Ethiopian Airlines, and they overshot their landing destination. But the reason why they did is because they both fell asleep. So both the pilot and the co-pilot, they were so comfortable in their plane that they fell asleep, and the plane, of course, was on autopilot, so it just kept going. And then finally, the people at the control tower did everything they could to get a hold of them, and eventually they woke up and then had to circle back around and then land where they originally intended to land. And of course, the way these news stories are given, they want everyone to be afraid that their pilot and co-pilot are going to fall asleep on them. I guess that's the point of it. But I was looking at it a little differently. I don't know if you've ever been in a car that had like really, really comfortable seats. I actually have pretty comfortable seats now, but before I had this Toyota Tacoma, and that was like driving in a lawn chair. I mean, you were never comfortable in those things. You'd be bouncing all over the place in these hard chairs, the seats there in the car. And I was thinking, this is very difficult to fall asleep there. Whereas in some of the modern cars, you sit in there, it's like a lazy boy. Well, of course you're going to fall asleep in those things. So my solution would be, don't make it too easy for those pilots to fall asleep by giving them these nice, cushy little seats. But you're thinking, what does this have to do with anything? Okay, well, I'm getting to it. So in the first reading, St. Paul is talking about the people who are looking at Apollos and thinking that Apollos is the one, he's all eloquent, he's trained in rhetoric, he has this fancy language in Greek, and he's able to really entertain the people and really kind of keep them captive. Now, Paul, of course, he's Jewish. He doesn't have all that training in rhetoric like Apollos does. So he just goes in and then just uses every ordinary day, everyday language. And when he does that, people just kind of size him up and figure he doesn't even know how to talk. He couldn't know anything. And so they're dismissing him. And they're saying, we like Apollos better because, you know, he's kind of one who has more entertaining and a better style of preaching. And so people were kind of picking their camps. And others were saying, yes, but Paul's a disciple and he actually has this deep and profound theology. You just have to kind of get around his speaking style, because the difference between rabbinical styles and Greek styles were different. And here in 1 Corinthians, Paul is starting to address that. And so for the next few weeks, you're going to hear him talking about it. And he's saying, why are you doing this? Why are you saying we're for Apollos, or we're for Paul, or we're for Peter? It's like you're kind of missing the point. It's like we're for Christ. We're all co-workers in the vineyard here, but Christ is where we're headed. This is our focus. And so that needs to be where we put our attention. And so the reason why I mentioned that first story is like that plane that bypassed the landing. So we have to make sure that everything we do as people of faith is headed to that goal, that destination, which is Christ. And if we miss it, in our prayer, like for example, if we have our own particular devotions or whatever it might be, and we don't have the landing spot, which is Christ, then we're kind of missing it. If we go to church and we're all concerned about the style of the preacher, we're missing it. If we're living this life and we're just, you know, going about our business and forgetting that what we do and what we say, you know, needs to reflect what we believe, then we're missing it. And so it's just a simple reminder, I think, that everything we do and everything we're about in our worship, in our words, in our actions, in who we are as a person and as a Christian and Catholic, then it really does need to be centered in Christ. We have to make sure that that's our landing. And it's not a difficult thing to do, to just every time that we pray, we say, okay, let's make sure that ultimately this gets to Christ, you know, and that everything we do in our worship, ultimately this gets us to Christ. And then when it comes to who we are and how we live, that ultimately we want to make sure that everything gets us to Christ. It takes a little more reflection, and sometimes we have to be a little deliberate in that, but it is a good lesson. And speaking of the young priest and the old priest, because, you know, Paul would have been the old priest, I suppose, and Apollos the younger one. So Father Dustin, of course, is the young priest. And I literally have to tell y'all that I kept forgetting he was newly ordained because he just has a natural sense about things. And we just kind of lay out all the stuff that we needed to accomplish and what we needed to do, and he just went with it and figured it out, and it was just so nice working with him. So I'll just let you all know that if it does come to his ability to come back here, I'm all for it, you know. But I do appreciate your hard work and how well you just kind of saw what needed to be done and jumped in it. He has a great faithfulness. He really truly does love the Lord. And anyway, we just want to continue to affirm that in you as you move on in your ministry. And he's a smart guy. You probably figure that out too. He's, you know, coming right out of seminary, which helps, I suppose, but, you know, keep that going as well. And ultimately, we're all in it for the long haul. And I think sometimes we can forget about that. When you have a short-timer priest for 2 months, it might seem that, you know, well, we just get another one and another one and another one, but he's going to be a co-worker with me and with all of you in ministry. And so we want to make sure that we do support our priests and support them in a way that lifts them up so that they don't miss their landing spot, you know. That's also very important. So anyway, we'll keep you in prayer as well. I know this homily is not all about you, and it might be weird sitting there, but anyway, I just figured it's good for us to know that.